Calgary, Sportsnet 960.
Heading into week number five in the CFL, always kind of interested what people are thinking. Is the entertainment value there? Has it been a good season? Stephen Brunt was asked that question this morning. What is this current state of the CFL?
I think the caliber of play is okay. I think they've got a massive issue in Toronto still that they're not even close to fixing. But then I say you've got you brought the game back to Ottawa in a place where it was dead as a doornail, and look at it now. So, you know, on balance, I think it's okay.
On balance, it's okay. I don't know about you, Derek. I've rather enjoyed the start of this CFL season as opposed to some in the past where it seems to be, you know, difficult to get your feet underneath you. You have some blowouts early and then teams catch up, whatever. I know Winnipeg hasn't been very good. Saskatchewan's yet to win, but they've been competitive. Every time you watch the Red Blacks, something's happening. It seems like it's good. I think it's actually been a good start to the CFL season.
It's been an interesting one. You look at the poor record for home teams early in 2016,
yeah,
which got a little poorer last night with the Stampeders' victory over the Blue Bombers in Winnipeg. And you look at some of the positive and negative surprises so far in the CFL this season, and nobody's running away with it. Everybody's still very much in the picture.
Right.
So I think it's been an interesting start to the season, but you know, to echo what Brunt said, you'd like to see some more storylines emerge. And
sure.
The problem the league has and has had for a long time is that the franchise in the country's largest market doesn't work. And everybody thought that it would work at least better moving to BMO Field. And it hasn't yet.
Very pleased to have join us our CFL insider, Justin Dunk from Sportsnet, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Justin, we'll get to your topics in a second, but we'll bring you into the conversation. It was just a question that was asked to Stephen Brunt this morning by the morning show. You know, the quality, that the state of the CFL, and you know, Brunt seems to think it's okay. We were just talking about it. My point is, I think it's been some of the better competitive games, entertaining games that we've seen early in the season in the last 4 or 5 years. What about you? What do you think of the current state of the CFL game heading into week five?
The start of the season has been pretty positive to me, fellas. You look at the TV numbers, they're up, and in some of the key demographics as well. And everyone looks at Toronto and moved to BMO Field, and the last game they played there had about 12,000 people announced, that is,
right,
in the stadium, and sort of focuses on that. But this league has, you know, skewed Western and sort of skewed to an older demographic, and I think it still skews Western, but I think there slowly is a bit of an interest building in some of those, you know, 18 to 30 range that the league wants to get. And I'm right with you. The quality of football has been improved, I think, especially to start the season. And quarterback play, too. We haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks go down, or at least go down at the rate they did early in 2015. So that's been a big key here early in the season, fellas.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's no doubt. Nobody's going to argue that the biggest sore point, the biggest problem area right now is the team in Toronto. We get that. But in terms of the quality of play, just, and I hate to put it on one team, but every time I turn on the Ottawa Redblacks, they entertain me. They're one of those teams that entertain me. And I hate to say it, Montreal was always so much better than everybody in the East, but rarely have we seen a team out East at times that just plain, I guess Hamilton maybe, when Zach Collaros is healthy. But through four games, I have no complaints when I turn on the television and watch the Red Blacks.
No way, especially when you consider not only Trevor Harris, but yeah, Chris Williams and Greg Ellingson and that receiving core that obviously everyone's talked about. And they play some good defense too, guys. They lost some big pieces, and Justin Capicotti was top among them, but they filled those holes in, and they just play an aggressive, attacking style brand of football on both sides of the ball and on special teams too.
Let's get into this week's topics, and we want to start with a former Stampeder, and I kind of had a smile on my face because somebody left the audio in our system, and I was listening to Nick Lewis's comments last week after their loss. Also, Daron Carter had some things to say, but I want to focus on the veteran, Nick, because it sounded to me like people were surprised by what he said, but that's the Nick Lewis I've known and loved. He was speaking his mind. They weren't good enough. They have to be better. They have to, you know, each look in the mirror. He took responsibility. First of all, your thoughts on the comments by Nick Lewis and also Daron Carter.
Yeah, so starting with Lewis, I didn't think that anything he said was very bad in terms of throwing people under the bus over there in Montreal. As you said, Rob, he included himself in all of those comments and flat out said, you know, we don't just get paid to play football. We get paid to win games. And he's a guy that over the years has earned the right, I believe, as a veteran in this league, to be able to say those things. And as a leader on that Alouettes team that, frankly, right now needs more guys like Nick Lewis. So I really don't understand how the Alouettes find him for what he said. And then you look at what Daron Carter said, where he essentially threw offensive coordinator Anthony Calvillo under the bus, saying that his girlfriend defense looked bland and she doesn't even know football. And Daron Carter gets away with it without around the league that he can knock on water over there.
You know what? I'm sorry, Justin, you cut out a little bit there, and I think it's just too juicy for us to ignore that. So there was a huge part of that answer missing. If you could just reset on Daron Carter, that would be great.
Yeah, so the most interesting thing about the comments to me is that, you know, Nick Lewis speaks his mind, but in a positive manner, wanting the team to get better,
right,
talking as a leader, not throwing anyone under the bus. But then Daron Carter comes out and says that his girlfriend, who doesn't even know anything about football, thinks the offense is bland, which essentially throws Anthony Calvillo, who, by the way, is the greatest quarterback, or one of the greatest quarterbacks
for sure,
in football history, the offensive coordinator under the bus. And it seems like there's no repercussions for Daron Carter in Montreal. I've been told by people around the league that it's like he walks on water over there. He can do whatever he wants. So it's very interesting to me that the Owls would find Nick Lewis, who is a guy that's proven over the years that he's a consummate pro and a team guy, and Daron Carter, who has shown that he's pretty selfish, gets away scot-free.
Yeah, so let's just, one more on this, because, you know, Nick Lewis was fined a couple of $100s. Okay, but Daron Carter, to your point, he's still playing, shouldn't be playing, but he's, you know, he's filed for for an appeal on his suspension for knocking over Campbell, the Ottawa head coach. Why? Yeah, and I'll say this. Is it because of who his father is? And is it because, you know, the league and the broadcast partner? I'm not taking shots. We do things in hockey, I'm sure, that the people at TSN don't necessarily agree with. But, man, do we get a lot of shots of Chris Carter on the sideline every time he's at a game. Why is it that this guy... Why is it that he gets a free pass in Montreal?
Well, as for the suspension, I think that's sort of a league issue, guys. That needs
for
to
sure
be a harsher suspension, right?
Right.
But as far as it being his name and Chris Carter was there, you know, there were people talking about last week that Chris Carter was essentially coaching the receivers on the sideline of the Alouettes. Now, yes, Chris Carter is a Hall of Fame receiver. He carries that big game. Maybe that's part of the reason the league went sort of light on Carter's suspension. But you don't want to have, you know, a guy who's not involved in the structure of the offense and is not a part of the coaching staff coaching these receivers on the sideline. I think it just speaks to even more of what's going on over there in Montreal, that it doesn't seem like it's the best organized team at the moment right now. It would really be sad that a penalty in terms of a suspension was changed because of the name of a player.
He's Justin Dunk, our CFL insider from Sportsnet, joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Derek?
Justin, not a great start to the season for Lions quarterback Jonathan Jennings. You look at his first three games, one passing touchdown, one rushing touchdown, one interception, didn't throw for over 250 yards in any of those games, but safe to say he had a bounce-back performance last week. He exploded in the Lions' 40-27 victory over the Rough Riders in Saskatchewan. What'd you see from him?
Much needed, fellas. And talking to some guys that watched the film and broke it down of what Jennings did to that Riders defense, they said he was more patient in the pocket, and most importantly, even more accurate. He hit some deep balls down the field, and that really loosened up coverage underneath and sort of kept that Riders secondary on their toes, because the first few games, Jennings wasn't really stretching the field vertically, and teams were sort of creeping up and jamming a lot of guys in those areas and sort of the intermediate and short areas, and Jennings wasn't able to complete the football, and he wasn't accurate. So those were two main things to why he got it turned around in Saskatchewan. And the offensive line played better, too. Obviously, that goes hand-in-hand, but I thought the first couple weeks they weren't terrible either. So this was just Jennings being more decisive and accurate with the football.
Yeah, three passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, didn't throw a pick. 429 passing yards and 30 rushing yards in that victory last week, so he's heating up. Bo Levi Mitchell continues to play some good football for the Stampeders. He was impressive last night, three touchdowns with an interception. He throws for 310 yards in their victory over the Blue Bombers, but the same cannot be said for Drew Willey, who started the game but did not finish it. Matt Nichols comes in, rallies the Bombers a bit late in that loss to the Stamps. Where do they go from here, though?
Well, I think it has to be to Matt Nichols, because Drew Willey has had a bit of a chance here early in the season. You know, he hasn't had been asked to put up a whole ton of points for the Bombers to win these games, especially early in the season. There have been some winnable games. You know, Edmonton only put up 20 points in their victory over Winnipeg the week before they lost to Calgary. And he's had chances and chances and chances with some plus field positions and turnovers. Their kicking game is better there for the Bombers. So it's not like he's had a bunch of long fields to go with. So I think it's time to give Matt Nichols a shot and sit down Drew Willey, because he's just proven over the start of the season here that he hasn't been able to get it done. And if you look around the league, let's say at a Mike Riley, for example, or Trevor Harris or Henry Burris, those guys were in new offenses as well, and they are rolling. So I hate that excuse being used for Drew Willey in Winnipeg, and especially when we see Nichols come off the bench and do what he did last night against Calgary.
Yeah, but let me just push back a little bit on that, Justin, because the first drive, absolutely. The second drive looked a lot like Willie's drive. And I thought, you know, not to take anything away from them, but I thought TSN did a nice job of showing that when they were second and 10, the receivers can't be coming out of their routes at 8 yards. And they were doing too much of that. I know Willie, I get it. It's football and it's all about the quarterback. You know that better than anybody. But, boy, he was not getting any breaks.
No, he wasn't. You know, guys, I always hesitate to sort of talk about what might be happening on a certain play, because we don't know what was actually called, right, when we're talking about a receiver breaking it off at 8 yards. We assume that, you know, from afar, it would be smart to break it off at the yard stick, but maybe there was some reason within the play call that it wasn't. But
all right, fair enough.
You know, I'm sort of with you here, though, Rob. He hasn't had a bunch of receivers sort of running wide open either. But on the other end, he hasn't been super accurate. And I think the one thing that might help whoever's playing quarterback in Winnipeg is a taller, more physical receiver. They have Weston Gessler. They have Ryan Smith.
Right.
They have those guys that are sort of jitterbugs and can use their quickness to get open. But they don't really have that sort of a Darius Bowman kind of a receiver where they can throw it up and you can go get it.
With Justin Dunk from Sportsnet, our CFL insider, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Week 5 continues tonight. Ottawa in Saskatchewan. The Riders have a new signing.
They do, and it was one that was, interestingly enough, at the matchup tonight with Ottawa coming to town, that Amobi Okoye, who was a top 10 pick by the Houston Texans back in 2007, actually played 6 years in the NFL, but had some medical trouble and was on the Dallas Cowboys medically injured list in 2015 last year, and then after that he was released. So the Red Blacks put him on the negotiation list and did their due diligence, had their doctors check him out. They didn't quite feel comfortable with some of the risks. You never know what could crop up that he's had. So after that happened, they left him on their negotiation. He's out there now getting himself into football shape. And he's a guy that could make a big-time impact if he can get back to that level that he was playing at in the NFL after his 10-pick down there.
I think there's a couple of nice games, but I think this Ottawa-Saskatchewan game could be a barn burner tonight.
Clearly he's not using a Rogers cell phone, Rob.
Well, he better be. He's a Rogers employee. there you are. You back, Justin? We lost you momentarily.
I got you, fellas. I got you.
Okay.
I'm not sure what's going on.
I don't know. You never know. It's maybe the Gremlins again. But my final thought for you is the Saskatchewan-Ottawa game. I know Saskatchewan's winless, but this should end. They don't have Darian Durant. But I can't help but think that this is going to be a good one tonight.
Yeah, especially, as I mentioned earlier, guys, watching the Red Blacks, no matter what, is going to be fun. And Mitchell Gale showed pretty well last week in the half of football that he had. I'm sure he would like to have a couple throws back and maybe protect that 23-10 lead a little better than did. But that said, this Riders offense has shown that they can score some points. Now, mind you, that was with Darian Durant on the field, so Gale will try to keep it going. That Rider D needs to be much better if they have any hope of getting a win against Trevor Harris and this Red Blacks offense that's rolling.
Good stuff as always, Justin. Charge that phone over the weekend, will you? We'll get it all charged up for next week.
Yeah, we'll get the bugs worked out.
Good to talk to you. Thanks, pal.
Take care, guys.
Justin Dunk, our CFL insider, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Enjoy Flame Grill Burgers paired with local craft beer. Visit their new location, now open in East Hills, 17th Avenue Southeast and Stony Trail. I do find that situation in Montreal rather interesting because we love Nick Lewis. I mean, Nick was so good to us. He was always on the station, and he was always one of those guys that just told it the way it is. But, you know, you have that, and you contrast that with, you know, Darian Durant and just the way he conducts himself. It's out of step. It's out of step. But you wonder if it boils over at some point.
And that's one of the reasons why maybe athletes aren't as honest with us and with the public as we'd like them to be. Because when they are, they get in trouble for it. But I liked what Lewis had to say. He was fiery. He was honest. And, you know, he called himself out. He called his teammates out. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I'm just going to go down here. Do we still have, you know what? I'm looking in the wrong folder here. I think we still have it for those who, you know, here we are.
This is some good audio here.
It is. It's from last week. Let me find it. This is Nick Lewis talking to reporters afterwards, and it's, boy, I sure hope I'm pressing the right button here on the right one, but because it's honest and it's open and it's full of bleeps. But here's Nick Lewis after Montreal's loss last week.
But you didn't have your starting quarterback.
That. Why am I here? Why do we show up? If that's going to be the excuse, then why are we showing up? There's no excuses. We all professionals. They put you in the game, win the game. That's it. That's the bottom line. If you can't do it, then you shouldn't be here. We're here to win football. We don't get paid to play football. We get paid to win games. Bottom line. Man, like I said, it's about looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I'm not good enough. If you can admit to yourself that you're not good enough, then that's where you start. And we're not good enough. We're not good enough individually. We're not good enough as a team. We're just not good enough. And until everybody in this locker room can look at themselves and look and see where they can get better, me included, I'm not pointing a finger at nobody. I'm just saying we have to get better. We, and I'm included, I have to get better. You know, I've asked to do more and things like that because I want to be better. No, I mean, I don't think it's about character. If it was character, then that's a whole different problem. We didn't play very well. I've never played this bad coming off a bye week. Like, we should have been very well prepared. We should have went out and executed a lot better, and we didn't.
What was the main issue tonight on offense?
I don't know. You watched the game. You tell me what the main issue was. I watched most of it. But, but I mean, there's a lot of issues. There's a lot of issues. But we got 15 weeks to correct it. Or actually, we got a week to correct it. We got 3 games in 11 days after this. So, I mean, we got to get it together, or we're about to lose a lot of games. And I hope everybody takes it seriously. I hope this affects everybody in this locker room, and we come out and be better next week.
If you were wondering if Nick Lewis softened over the weekend or in preparation for the next game, not really backing down from his comments.
You know what? Herb, I've been here 13 years. You're not going to muzzle me. But, you know, at the same time, I respect this organization. I respect the ownership. I respect our head coach and general manager, and I respect all our players and, you know, what needs to be said will be said, and it will be across, and we'll be fine.
Completely as an aside, I do find it rather interesting that in the middle of his rant, he mentions that I've never seen anything like this out of a bye week. Well, that's right, because you played for the Stampeders,
right,
who don't lose coming out of a bye week. So, of course, it was. I'll take Nick Lewis any day. I know at times he rubs people the wrong way, and I know he gets into the social media and you know, sometimes walks a fine line, but I'll take Nick Lewis and the amount that guy cares, that he cares. And, you know, what I find interesting is this whole idea of where's, and I think I called them Darian Durant. It's not Darian Durant. It's Daron Carter. I apologize. It's Daron Carter who we're talking about, not Darian Durant. Darian Durant hasn't done anything wrong because he's in Saskatchewan. I'm
so
saying Daron,
he won't be in Kangaroo Court
will,
with me then?
No, you're on your own, Mr. at 4:30. Uh-huh. But Daron Carter is who we're talking about. And Daron Carter is, you know, if he's becoming kind of that problem, you don't need it. You don't need it, right?
You don't. And listening to that clip for the third time now, mm-hmm. here's what I just pulled out of it. And I didn't even really wrap my head around this the first two times I heard that. And maybe you could set it up for us, Matt. At the end of that clip, basically, what I heard him say led me to believe that he was basically talking through the media directly to his teammates.
Right.
He said, I hope everybody takes this seriously.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. So, right. Yeah, he may have dropped some four-letter mm-hmm. F-bombs on the media, and I'm not saying that I agree with that, but I do agree with the type of tone he's trying to set in that dressing room.
Yep.
And with the message he's trying to send to his teammates that it's not okay to go out there and perform the way they perform.
And just to half-ass it. And
right.
Look, I've been in that scrum with Nick Lewis here in Calgary. He's had those moments here, too. It's not new. And I will back him up. But when I hear Justin Dunk talking about Daron Carter and you start to hear about, you know, his comments and some of the shots he is taking at his team, you know, again, I get it. And he's exciting and he's all of those sort of things. But I'd rather have somebody owning up and being passionate than somebody kind of throwing his teammates under the bus. We'll see. I may be unfair to Daron Carter. I'm already a little biased because I think he should be sitting down right now for that incident involving the Red Blacks. But, you know, that, of course, will get taken care of in glacial time because the CFL always does things like that in glacial time.
And as Nick Lewis said, listen, I've been around 13 years. You're not going to muzzle me. You don't think the Alouettes knew that when they brought him in?
Oh, no. That's why they
of course they knew it.
That's why they brought him in. Now, I don't know if Alex Singleton is going to be the next Nick Lewis. Of course, he plays defense and Lewis plays on the offense, but he's got some character. The young man was drafted by the Stampeders in the first round of the CFL's Canadian draft here this past May. He's already made an instant impact, was again a factor last night on defense. When we come back, it is Football Fridays, and we'll continue. We'll hear from the Stampeders, Alex Singleton, coming up next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Some guests on Sportsnet 960 appear on the South Street Burger guest hotline. Delight in a flame-grilled burger and choose from over 30 gourmet toppings. Satisfy your cravings with South Street Burger. Better burgers, fries, shakes.
Calgary sports fans get their fix on the big show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960.
Stamps pick up their second win of the year against Winnipeg, by the way, 33-18 in Manitoba last night, off until next Friday when they host BC at McMahon Stadium. It's just the second time that they will play a home date so far for the next six are at McMahon. One of the guys that is quickly becoming very popular for the media and I think somewhat for the fans too is a rookie linebacker and Alex Singleton. Alex Singleton, again, with another strong performance for the Stamps last night. We had a chance to talk to him earlier today. Alex, I want to start, first of all, with the big win last night in Winnipeg. Your perspective on it, obviously a game which, right from the get-go, you guys seem to be in control of.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good team win. I think we're really clicking on all cylinders, all three phases of the game, yeah. I think each group gave up, you know, bend but didn't break situations throughout the game. But overall, I think we played all-around good game against a really good team that was out there looking for a win.
I know you've only seen a handful of opponents, but tell me about the problems that Winnipeg poses for you in a game and what you did last night to kind of negate that.
They get the ball all over the field. They don't, you know, just have one particular player besides, I guess, Andrew Harris that they really focus to get the ball to. So you really got to be on all, your game on all the receivers, the Andrew Harris, and then even Drew Willey. So we had to prepare for everybody, and, you know, I think we went in very well with a good game plan and executed well.
It's twice that you've really gone after the Bombers and gotten them down early, and the only time they really seem to be productive are in the fourth quarter in both of the wins over them. Any particular reason why you have had this success against Winnipeg early in those games?
I think it was just, you know, coming out and, you know, executing on all cylinders, knowing what we had to do to win a game and playing as a team, and I think we're going to start seeing more and more and then carry it throughout the fourth quarters.
In conversation, Alex Singleton of the Calgary Stampeders, our guest here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Let's talk about your journey. We talked to you just, you know, a day after you were drafted by this team in the Canadian draft in May. Here we are a couple of months later, and you're already a month into the season. How has your experience gone so far?
I'm loving it. I love every minute of Calgary, every minute of the Stampeders, and you know, it's been an incredible journey so far, and I'm just glad to be part of it.
What's been the biggest transition for you? Because when we talked, and you know, I think everybody by now knows your story. You've got heritage that is Canadian, but you never played the three down game. How's that conversion been for you?
You know, it's been kind of nice. You don't get as tired playing two downs instead of three, or you know, four in the NFL or college football. And so, you know, it's been nice in that situation. You know, the longer field also does a little different. But the biggest thing for me was angles in the beginning, having, you know, receivers and running backs getting the extra, you know, 15 yards to the sideline to make plays on. So that was definitely a difference in the beginning, but it's been good so far.
Is there a common rhythm to football, or is the rhythm in the CFL maybe different to the NFL or college in the sense that, you know, there's really that second down is the whole thing, right? You can't take time and run the ball. If you don't have it, you got to go for it.
Yeah, but like you said, I think there is just a common rhythm with football, you know, because it's just how this game's played, and that's how, you know, the NFL game's played that certain way. And, you know, it's just a rhythm, and once you're into it, you're into it.
Alex, who's been the in terms of players, who's given you the most? Who's helped you along the most so far this season?
Oh, I would say definitely defensively, Daron Mayo for sure has been, you know, someone to definitely lean on as a, you know, one of our captains. And then even, you know, offensively, Bo's helped a lot, just, you know, talking about situations that they go through and just, you know, talking whiteboard talk and everything. And just really everyone on the whole team has been super helpful with everything, you know, and leading the way.
Alex, we heard from your coach earlier in the week, and he kind of alluded to the fact that you got banged up. Are you healthy? Are you 100% now coming into this, well, I guess after the bye week in the game against Winnipeg, but are you 100% healthy?
Yeah, I'm 100% healthy. Kind of got a little banged up some, but I'm 100% healthy.
But that's football, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. 100% is just football.
Alex, you mentioned Calgary. It's been kind of a wonky schedule for you guys. And I know that it's not like baseball or hockey or basketball where you're on the road, but you haven't played a lot of home games at McMahon. What's that challenge been like to start with so many on the road?
You know, I think it's kind of nice because it gives the team a chance to get a rhythm outside of the home field. I think the home field is a place that you know, you feel comfortable at and come out and win games. But being able to do it on the road, especially early, is really tough to do in any sports, and especially professional sports. So to be able to do that early as a team, I think it puts a big step or a big chip on our shoulder for the season.
And now you play, what, four of your next six at McMahon. I mean, is that something you're chomping at?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice to get into a rhythm. It's going to be nice to be at home in front of our home crowd and, you know, just come out and win games.
In conversation, Alex Singleton of the Calgary Stampeders, our guest here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Tell me about the team that selected you. Tell me about playing for the Stampeders, because we've been told that they are a very tight group, very tight locker room. You're the new guy. You're one of the rookies. How have you found it?
It's very tight. It's really a home. This is, you know, our family, I guess, not a home. But it's definitely a big family. You know, there's guys that have been here for, you know, a decade with Rob Cote. And then, you know, just other guys that have been here 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And, you know, you don't find that in the NFL, but definitely not the CFL. And, I mean, the coaches all played here. So it's definitely a family environment. And they really mean the words that they say to you. And I think that has played on throughout the years.
That's a really interesting observation that you make about the coaches. You know, a lot of them have ties as players here. Does that do you notice that? Does it make a difference? Does it impact anything?
I think it helps just knowing that they, you know, have been in your situation and understand what you're going through to be able to, you know, be able to interpret something in a different way, not just from a coaching perspective, but from a player perspective.
As you look through the first couple of games, is it safe to say that Ottawa game was probably the most memorable one, the one that maybe you learned the most in?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I would say making plays-wise, you know, to feel good. But definitely the last game, you know, getting the start and getting to play, you know, all 60-plus snaps of the game definitely was, you know, where I got my feet under me. When you come in, you know, late in the fourth quarter with all the adrenaline already in you, it's easy to play off the flow of the game. But to be able to go in, start to finish, definitely is something that I'll use more in my future to learn from and develop from than the Ottawa game.
So tell me about away from football. You're up here in Calgary now. Are you a guy that gets a, do you want, when you leave the facility, are you done with football? Are you a guy that consumes it? What's life away from the McMahon Stadium like for you?
I definitely consume the game. I will lift here for another hour, and then I will head home, and I'll watch all the BC games and, you know, dive right into that and break down my own stuff. But, you know, I try to get away. My girlfriend actually doesn't live here yet, but she'll move up here in August, and she's driving up for the weekend. So hopefully tomorrow I can put the playbook down for at least a few hours and hang out with her. But, yeah, I definitely consume myself with the game. But, you know, it's my job, so that's what I want to be doing.
What about the culture? I mean, it is a little different up here. We at least think it is in terms of, you know, the way the guys do kind of watch the other game, talk about it. I don't know if you follow Nick Lewis or see Nick Lewis on Twitter, but it just seems there's a different culture. Have you caught up with that yet so far?
You know, I've seen some of it. I haven't, you know, it's definitely a lot more player-oriented in the media, for sure. It seems like a lot of guys get to voice their opinion. But, you know, I haven't really followed too much. I know he got in trouble or something, but, you know, nothing. But, no, nothing that I've, like, really followed too hard on.
And one last one for you, and I'll let you go. Tell me about playing for your D coach. I mean, he's another one of the former players. I don't know if you're allowed to call him Biscuit yet, but that's how we knew him. But tell me about your coach.
No, I didn't know that's what you guys called him. But, no, Coach Clay Brooks, like I said earlier, he is easy to, you know, compare things as a player, not just, you know, coming down as a coach. And I think it definitely helps a lot to understand and have a guy that, you know, would have played in front of you on the D-line that can tell you what's going on or be able to, because I've always had, you know, defense coaches that were safeties or linebackers and never a D-lineman. And so he really helps with, you know, the scheme of the game, the run game, the pass, you know, the pass rushes and everything. So it's helped a ton that way, and he's just a good leader of the defense.
Listen, you sound like you're having fun. You're enjoying this?
Oh, I love it. Love every second. I'm having a great time.
Alex Singleton, a linebacker for the Calgary Stampeders. A lot of fun to talk to him, and a lot of people talking to him today. He's one of the more popular guys as the Stamps held a media availability after their win last night in Winnipeg by a 33-18 score. Calgary 2-1-1 on the season. Play host to the BC Lions next Friday. We'll take a break, continue with Football Fridays, but we're going to just take a little diversion here. Derek, do you want to update us on the Canadian Open? Because there's actually some really positive things happening out there.
Absolutely. And truth be told, I think we've both been waiting for him to fall off. But Jared Dutoit is not falling off in round number two of the RBC Canadian Open at Glen Abbey in Oakville. As a matter of fact, he is now tied for the tournament lead with Dustin Johnson. And Johnson finished his second round -1 today. So he's in the clubhouse following a 71. He's 7-under for the tournament. Dutoit now 2-under through 9 holes, and he is tied at -7 for the tournament lead. And in case you're wondering about some other Canadians, well, nobody else really pushing atop the leaderboard right now. Adam Hadwin getting one of those two strokes he gave away back. He is at -2 and currently tied for 22nd. And Garrett Rank, who found out earlier this week that he would be a full-time referee in the NHL next season and still a part-time golfer, he is now at -2 and tied for 22nd, defending champion. And a lot of people thought he would defend his championship. Jason Day right now, a 3-over par round for round two, and he is currently tied for 42nd. So it does not look like Day is going to repeat as RBC Canadian Open champion.
So we'll keep our eyes on that as the afternoon continues, but that's great news for the formerly at Kimberley, but kid golfing out of the Glencoe. That's not a bad little story. I like that when it happens. We'll take a break when we come back. Football Fridays continues. Week 5 in the CFL has 3 more games on tap and some real intrigue there. We'll talk about that. Coming up, top of the hour, some headlines. Later on this afternoon, we're going to hear, we get a very special guest at 5:25. We'll kind of allude to that as the afternoon goes on. But 5 o'clock, you know him, you love him from Sportsnet and the Calgary Sun. Eric Francis will join us. A lot to do this afternoon. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The big interviews, the big stories, the big opinions. It's the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 Calgary.
Finishing off with our final segment of Football Fridays, thanks to Justin Dunk from Sportsnet joining us and Alex Singleton from the Calgary Stampeders. I'm Rob, he's Derek. We continue to take a look at Week 5 in the CFL. The Stampeders opened up with a 33-18 win in Winnipeg. That's significant on a couple of reasons, or for a couple of reasons. It's their 13th consecutive win after a bye week for the Stamps. You have to go all the way back to July 1st, 2005, a game in Toronto, which technically was in week two. So the Stamps, it was the Stamps' first game of the year, but they had the bye in week one. But that's where it is. And they continue to dominate the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And just not even in the new building, in all the buildings, it's their 23rd win in the last 26 visits to Winnipeg in the regular season. So that's how week five starts off. It continues tonight in Regina. No Darian Durant, and the Ottawa Red Blacks come a-calling. You know, we talked about it earlier, Derek. For me, the Red Blacks have been, you know, must-watch television. They've just been entertaining games. Anytime they play, they've been a lot of fun to watch. You know, this Saskatchewan team with Chris Jones, they spent all the money and brought in the new coaching staff and, you know, changed players. Darian Durant's hurt again, so they won't have him tonight. But I think, quite honestly, I think they're better than 0-3. I don't know if they can beat Ottawa without Darian Durant, but I think this is going to be a competitive game tonight.
I mean, Trevor Harris has probably been the MVP of the league so far. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think
leads the league in passing yards, leads the league in passing TDs. Funny thing is, he's got more than twice as many passing yards as Darian Durant.
Right.
But the Red Blacks, they've been a great story. The only thing that annoys me about them, it did when they announced the team, and it still does today, is that they insist that Red Blacks is spelled with all capital letters, and I feel like they're yelling at me every time I see it.
Well, the hashtag's on their pants, right?
Exactly. No, but that should be a good game. I think best game of the week in the CFL, and looking forward to it.
And then tomorrow night, Edmonton plays host to Hamilton. On the surface, an okay game. You know, the Tiger Cats aren't what we hoped they would be. They might when they get Zach Kleros back. And Mike Riley continues to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And I you know, I'm biased. I think Alberta has two of the best right now in both Levi Mitchell and Mike Riley. I really like Mike Riley. But we just found out that tomorrow's halftime show features Flo Rida.
I could not pick him out in a police lineup, Rob.
Flo Rida.
But I know he's a big name.
He's a very
for the
big
youngins.
Name. Yes, Maddie, you a big Flo Rida guy?
Do you have his tape?
You have his 45s?
I don't have any of his hit fire tracks. No,
okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
But I do know that he does lay down the bangers, boys.
He does,
now,
eh?
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
Right.
But he's not actually from Florida.
No, he's Flo Rida.
Oh,
they're completely different, Derek.
They're different.
Yes.
They're not the same?
No. Yeah.
So he wasn't named after a state.
I think that they're both pretty wild,
yeah.
But apart from that, I don't know if there's any real similarities.
Yeah, Derek.
Well, that's certainly a highlight for that game.
So we've had fun with the first two, or the middle two games of week five in the CFL. Monday night.
Wait, Monday night?
Yeah.
CFL game on a Monday night?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is. The Montreal Alouettes and a very pissed off Nick Lewis are going to be in Toronto to take on the Argonauts. And this has gone south in a hurry. The first week, the first game at BMO Field, and everybody was excited. There was tailgating, and, you know, the crowd was okay. But then they had just a horrendous crowd of announced 12,000, less than that. They're going to host the Grey Cup. We continue to try and solve the riddle, which is the CFL in Toronto. And, you know, I reference this all the time. When I first came to Calgary, I remember just going off one day and get rid of them. Just get rid of Toronto. You don't need them. They're an anchor. You know, the real strength of this league is the prairies. And I still believe the real strength of this league is the prairies. But I think I've matured enough to know that you really do need a team near Bay Street. If you're going to be a Canadian league, you've got to be where the Canadian advertisers, the Canadian media are. And I know that's easy to say when you're drawing 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people to a game that it's ineffective, but they've got to find a way to reestablish that team in that marketplace. And, you know, I thought BMO was going to take a step forward, but in the course of a month, it went from highs of highs to lows of lows, Derek.
Yeah, and I really thought that was going to be a turning point for that franchise.
Right.
Because with all due respect to Rogers Centre, and I love watching baseball games there,
mm-hmm.
It was a terrible place to watch football games. It really was.
For
you
sure.
were so far from the field.
Right.
You just felt so disconnected from the game, and it was almost better to just stay at home and watch it on television. But BMO Field is a wonderful facility, right on the waterfront in Toronto. And I thought they might be able to generate a real demand for tickets, and that's one thing they lacked playing at Rogers Center was a demand for tickets.
Yeah.
You didn't have to get your tickets in advance. But I thought that much like when the Alouettes moved to a smaller stadium, that when the Argonauts did the same, playing in Canada's largest market, there would suddenly be a demand for tickets. And even if it was just the factor of going to see a football game, not a soccer game,
mm-hmm.
but an American or a Canadian football game at BMO Field, just to see what it was like. And they had a little bit of that in the first game there, but not so much in the second. So that's a huge disappointment. The one thing that I'd like to see, and I think you're right, I think the CFL does have to have a team in Toronto, and they've got to figure out a way to make the Argonauts work. I'd like to see them add a 10th team out east. Because I, like you, believe the strength of the CFL mm-hmm. is in the prairies.
Yeah.
But if they were to put a team out east, Halifax, wherever.
Quebec City. Yeah.
But especially farther east.
Yep.
In the Maritimes. I think it would be terrific.
Facility, though.
Right.
Right. And then the touchdown Atlantics were always temporary facilities and those types of things. And, you know, in this climate, as we know here in Calgary, it's not easy to just get something up and built. And, you know, and particularly football facilities. Say what you will about arenas. Arenas are far more multiplex.
Right.
You know, you bring concerts and things like that. You can bring concerts to the stadiums. But let's be perfectly honest, as opposed to, you know, an NHL team and, you know, maybe some other components, you put 100 dates, 150 dates in there. But a football stadium, man, sometimes you can't get more than 20.
Yeah, it'd be tough. Look at, and I think Halifax is always top of mind when it comes to expanding
Absolutely.
East.
For sure.
But how about St. John's? And the reason I bring up St. John's, Newfoundland,
mm-hmm.
is because I have spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
And I know how passionate they are about their American Hockey League team there.
Mm-hmm.
Which they were the Maple Leafs and now the Ice Caps, and they're losing them again.
Yeah.
If the CFL were to somehow find a way to go to St. John's, that would be the only game in town. And they might get another AHL affiliate there. They might get an ECHL team, something along those lines. But, you know, the CFL... We're talking major professional here.
Yeah.
And I think if you were to put a team out east in Halifax or St. John's, it would be an absolute hit. But to your point, what else would you use the stadium for? We've talked a lot about Calgary Next. We haven't talked about it a lot recently, but you build a field house maybe that could be used for multiple things.
Yep. Yeah, that's one way of doing it. That's absolutely one way of doing it. So that's when week number 5 wraps up on Monday night with Montreal in Toronto. That's Football Fridays. Thanks to Justin Dunk. Thanks to Alex Singleton. Just a reminder, coming up on Monday, we're going to draw the name. We'll make it official on Tuesday, but we'll draw the name and contact the winner of our Fishing for a Day with yours truly as well, Cody Earle. Great fisherman. He put a great package together that's added a Rapella prize pack that we're going to give you. We're going to go out with our friends from Alberta Marine in Natton. Greg and his gang are terrific, and they're all about family. So we're really hoping that our winner is somebody like a father or mother who can bring on their son or their daughter or niece or nephew or somebody like that. That's what we're looking for. Next Wednesday, we're going to go fishing, and then we're going to also do some shows out of it. We'll make it part of an upcoming program. Alberta Marine has lots of fishing boats in Natton, including Lund, Kingfisher, Striper, and now Apex Pontoon Fishing Series. All of them are available to browse at albertamarine.com. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, headlines, the Stampede Report, and then Derek Wills goes on trial. He must answer for some crimes that he committed today. We'll put him on trial, see how that goes. Here's hoping it's not a hung jury or anything like that. But we'll find out. We have Judge Matty Rose ready to pass judgment. What?
I laugh because Matt Rose is the judge, so yes. I've got pretty good reason to ask for a mistrial if things don't go my
way.
I'm pretty sure I'm the judge here. So.
Yeah. We might add more titles to it. It's all coming up here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.